Mark chapter 11. We'll read for our text verses 11 through 14. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. Sorry, let's start with verse 12. 12 through 14, where we want to read. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. His disciples heard it. This is an interesting passage that Mark records here in this gospel account of Jesus' life of Christ. As we have noticed, as you Bible readers and Bible scholars already know, the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. This account is here in this Gospel. Mark records it. Jesus was with the 12. He was hungry. Hard to put a title on this. I would take my title from verse 13. Nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. It's the title of my sermon. Jesus was with the 12 and he was hungry. This is a reminder, beloved, of our Lord's humanity as a man. Here on the earth, he got hungry. And in verse 13, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And so he saw this fig tree, and he went to it, but when he came to it, there was nothing there but leaves. There were no figs on it. The tree had no fruit. And so in verse 14, it says, And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. His disciples heard it. Now, if that was the end of this, we could say, well, this is no different than any other man. Haven't you ever gone or planted, as I have, a tree that is supposed to have fruit, and it either doesn't bear fruit or it bears very little fruit, and you get angry and you say things to the tree? Maybe I'm the only one who talks to my trees and to my garden, but it's frustrating if you put some work into something, you've planted it, you expect it to have fruit, then it doesn't have fruit. But, skip on down verses 20 and 21. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. We'll look some more into this later, but I want to bring out some things preliminary about this tree that had nothing but leaves. Things that we can glean from this. And then when we get down to verses 20, 21, and then we'll see our Lord's answer there, we'll glean some things from that as well. But I want us to consider some things about this fig tree. That Jesus, as he came along, no doubt there were other trees, but this was a curse for this one particular tree. It was a tree that he expected to have fruit because it was a fig tree. Over in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus said this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Notice, beloved, that in this teaching, what our Lord is teaching us is that the branches which are alive in John chapter 15 are those which are bearing fruit. Now think about this. In our text, there were probably other trees. There may have been some oak trees, perhaps some palm trees, and so on and so forth. Those trees had a purpose. Those were shade trees, but they didn't have any fruit whatsoever, and they weren't designed for fruit. They were in this world and without fruit. They'll never bear fruit, not edible types of fruit. But our Savior was not expecting to find fruit in these other trees, and so he went to this fig tree expecting to find fruit, but he didn't find it. Found leaves, nothing but leaves. Indeed, says that he cursed that tree. He cursed that tree. He didn't curse the other trees right away, did he? Now, thinking about this and just comparing Scripture with Scripture, if there were other trees around, which I'm sure there were, he left them alone. Even those that did not bear fruit. Now, thinking about the long term, eventually, they too would wither and die. Trees don't live forever, do they? So our Savior, he was patient and long-suffering with them, even though they will eventually also wither and die. So it is with people. Beloved, there are people in this world who will never bring forth any fruit. They are not elect of God. They are reprobate. They will someday die and be cast into a lake of fire. Indeed, all who die without Christ. Jesus said there in John that you can't bear fruit except you're in Him. All who die without Christ will eventually be cast into the lake of fire. They're cursed, eventually going there, but God is long-suffering, isn't He? Over in John chapter 3, we love John 3:16, but let's read verses 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. There is condemnation for those who are not in Christ. Yes, we rejoice that there is everlasting life for those who come to Christ, for those who believe in Jesus. But there's also condemnation to those who are not in Christ. They're condemned already. And some will go on for many, many years, even into old age. I think of men like Charles Darwin and some of the evil dictators of this world. They lived and they went on and they died. Romans chapter 9 brings some of that up, doesn't it? Talking about even Pharaoh. They were allowed to live in this world for God's purposes. They enjoyed God's reign, God's sunshine, God's world. You see, He didn't immediately strike them down. Just like what must have been that day with those trees. As we think about those fruitless trees, fruitless people, we must understand that there are those who are elect and those who are reprobate. And I'm reminded of something. What Jesus did here in this example is something that you and I don't know. We can't tell. Right? We... Indeed, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, just as an example here. I'll try to get out what I'm trying to say. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you hath He quickened. You hath He quickened. You hath He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you see this? What he's saying here is, in the times past, we were walking according to the course of this world. We were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Our lives were no different than the reprobate. Indeed, he goes on to say that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But we've been made alive. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us. You see, there came a day when there was a difference made in our lives. Indeed, even Paul, as he penned this, you think about the life of Paul. It's no wonder that the church at Jerusalem had a hard time believing that this man had been saved. That this man was now a preacher. That this man was now different. Before, he was no different than the rest of the world. He was no different than the reprobate. Indeed, you and I were that way as well. And when we look out at this world and we see people living fruitless lives, we don't know who the elect are and who is it. That's why we're told to preach the gospel to every creature. We're not told to go out and curse the trees. Right? That's not us. That's God's business. Our business is to carry the gospel. Because we don't know. We don't know who the elect are and who's not elect. Do you know that big, beautiful fig tree that wasn't bearing figs, you and I, we wouldn't know, but what that might be one of the best fig trees that's ever going to be, because we don't know. But God does, you see. And in this, in Mark chapter 11, in his hunger, we see his humanity. But in the curse and the results of that curse, we see his divinity. He was a man like us in that he hungered, but we're reminded that he is God, you see. And as we think about this and consider Mark chapter 11, it ought to give us a time for self-examination. Mark chapter 11. It says in verse 13, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came. If haply he might find anything thereon, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. The leaves are beautiful. The leaves weren't enough. Remember, as we think about self-examination, it was the error of our grandparents. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So Adam and Eve sinned, and they thought that they could stay there with nothing but leaves. Look there at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And so we could read on, but we won't. But when we get down to verse 21, it says, Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. They had nothing but leaves, nothing but fig leaves. They hid from God, and it wasn't enough. They had to have the provision of Almighty God. The leaves may have been beautiful. They may have done a great job of covering what they lacked. But God knew. God could see. You see, the leaves are big. The leaves are beautiful. But if there's no fruit, if God has not worked a change in the life of the sinner, then that's nothing. There are people, even today, who have a fig leaf religion. Oh, beloved, they may say, well, I go to church, I tithe, I do this, I do that. But you know what? That's not enough without Christ. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Jesus came to the tree. He was looking for fruit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Says, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the fruit of the Spirit that he's talking about compared to the works of the flesh. Our Lord is seeking fruit. Without it, you're no better than that fig tree with just the leaves, or no better than Adam and Eve standing there in the garden naked before God. The reality is they thought that the leaves were enough. That tree was like the false professor. Adam and Eve standing there naked before God with just their leaves. You realize that if God had not intervened that day and provided something better for them, that they would have had died in their sins. They would have been forever separated from Almighty God, hiding, always running and fleeing and hiding from God. And who are they to think that they can hide from God? But they did. They thought that. And Jesus, when he shows up to this fig tree, he put a curse on that tree. He didn't. You do realize that he's the creator of the world. He could have just as much changed that tree and figs started growing on it, but he didn't. He cursed it. It was to say that it's unfruitful. He that is unfruitful, let him be unfruitful still. Charles Spurgeon commenting on this, he said, and now, if Christ should come into this church this morning and should look on you and on me and see any of us great profession and great pomp of leaves, yet no fruit, what if he should pronounce the curse on us? What would be the effect? We should wither away as others have done. Such a terrible thought, but not just speculation. Jesus taught this would happen in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7. Begin at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, what's happening there is the same thing that happened with that tree, the same thing that happened with our grandmother and our grandfather there, Adam and Eve. These individuals were more excited about the leaves. They had no fruit. They said, look, we've done prophesied in your name. In your name we've cast out devils. In your name done many wonderful works. That's not fruit. That's leaves. That's show, you see. Nothing but leaves. What a terrible end for the fig tree. What a terrible future for a person. Charles Spurgeon again said, preaching from this text, and I'll bring this to a close with this thought. He said, "Now let us throw our arms about the Savior and take Him to be ours. Having done this, let us seek divine grace. For the rest of our lives, may we work for God. Oh, I do hope to do more for God, and I hope you will." And he says this. He says, "Oh, Holy Spirit, work in us mightily, for in Thee is our fruit found." Amen. You and I, we are nothing but a barren fig tree without Jesus. All we've got is leaves, and that's not enough. But with the Spirit of God, through the work of Jesus Christ, there is fruit. And when Jesus comes looking for fruit, He will find it. He will find it. Do you know Jesus today? Have you been born again? Are you alive in Christ? If not, trust Him today. May God add the blessing to His word.